The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back as we head into hour two. I unloaded a bunch of news stories at the top of the last hour, except for one. So let me give out the phone number. I have a feeling you may want to comment on this one. 602-508-0960, 602-5080-960. And I was slow to kind of doing this story because I try a little bit to do a little bit different from other things I hear on other shows as I listen to radio. And yet it dawned on me, I haven't really dipped this stick into the test of this audience for measurement and analysis and discussion quite yet. And it's the story and the news of Nikki Haley, obviously now, even though she didn't fully announce it, leaking enough to say she will be announcing her bid for the presidency, challenging the only other announced candidate in the field right now, which is Donald Trump. It's pretty clear that, I mean, with the candidacy of Donald Trump, we are probably going to have a candidacy from Mike Pompeo. I don't know if Mike Pence is still thinking that way, but likely is the case. Ron DeSantis, to be sure, is putting together a team. And now Nikki Haley is putting her hat in the ring. Good story in Real Clear Politics about it, which I'll run by you. But I would love to get your thoughts on it. And if you want to think about, you know, what her bona fides are, would you support her? Are you with Trump? Are you with DeSantis? Please do give us a call. And on the currently elected line is Congressman David Schweikert, who checks in with us every Wednesday. How are you, sir?
I'm so sorry for my tardiness. I have Lynn Munsell sitting in my office, and we're trying to figure out how to save the world in a moral fashion. He's waving at you,
Seth. Well, tell Len I said hi. I haven't talked to him in forever, and I went to college with a cousin, high school and college with, I believe, a cousin of his.
Friend, but yeah. He went to high school or college with?
Both in Claremont. It was a cousin of his.
Claremont.
And I haven't seen Len in a long time. Tell him I send my very, very best.
Yeah, well, apparently the university out there is doing quite well, and he's here. There, we have a number of the Christian universities here visiting in town.
Fantastic.
Lynn's one of my oldest friends.
Oh, so. Wonderful, wonderful. A good man. I regret it's been so long. If this is how I have to see him through you, David, you have done your job.
So I apologize.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the debt discussions and debates. I guess Speaker McCarthy had a meeting with Joe Biden today. I don't know if you're hearing anything. I'd love you to talk about that and in any order you want, something we're going to just have to roll up our sleeves and defend. You gave a great speech on the floor about it, which is this myth that Republicans want to cut Social Security. So either way you want to start, I'd love to get your take on it, David.
Okay. Let's do a couple things really quick.
Okay.
I have not gotten any update how the discussion, and this is just going to be part of the kabuki dance.
Yeah.
One of the things I did meet with McCarthy with early this morning, we actually found the 1985 GAO memo that made it perfectly clear Treasury has the authorization to prioritize payments. That basically means Treasury can take and say, we're going to pay all of our debt obligations first,
okay,
which means there's no such thing as default.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean you don't make some programs and stuff really upset because they don't have their cash.
Mm-hmm.
But default is when you don't pay your bonds.
Right.
Treasury has absolutely the authority to prioritize payments. We have plenty of cash flow from our tax receipts to cover every dime of indebtedness and the bond payments and then all the earned entitlements like Social Security, Medicare, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the trick is trying to remove the shrillness, which is meant to scare people and create political pressure, mm-hmm, and avoid actually dealing with the reality of how much debt and trouble we're in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's sort of that first part of how do you say this is a stressor. It's stressors in politics are used to actually force people to take on uncomfortable policy.
Right.
And we're in real trouble. We're heading to a $2 trillion a year structural deficit in 10 years. $1 trillion of that being interest, $1 trillion being the growth of Medicare. Tell me what you want to cut.
Well, and beyond that, I mean, even as a national issue, you were also making the floor speech about every American is poorer today than they were last year.
Okay. It is interesting. I was so enraged the White House was doing the, look how great the economy is.
Right.
And then you take a look at the wage growth, and except for a little part of L.A., which has actually had a little more wage growth than inflation, the rest of the country is poor. And do you know who's the poorest, who's gotten the poorest in the last 12 months in the entire country?
Phoenix, I was going to say Phoenix has got to be up there. Right.
Phoenix, Scottsdale's number one.
Oh, we beat. We win.
You're about 4.5 to 5 points poorer today.
Wow.
That's a big deal. If your boss came to you tomorrow and said, hey, Bob, I'm going to cut your salary by 5%. And we just take it from you. Also, because everything got more expensive faster than your wages went up.
Inflation outgrew it.
We lost more of our purchasing power. We are poor in our community more so than any other place in the country. And it rips me apart that so much of the political class doesn't focus on just our families, our working families just trying to survive. It's like, come on, guys, got to care.
What would be a first plan if you could wave a wand and have an entire Congress that was of your party or of your point of view? What would be a first one to get us back on track?
First one is understanding it's complex. You got to do everything.
Okay.
Yeah, and that means productivity is collapsing.
Yeah.
In society. You got to do the things. We know how to do that through tax code and regulatory.
Right.
We've done it before.
Right.
Productivity, because if you're going to pay people more. You get paid more on two things. Inflation, when you get paid more for inflation, you didn't get anything.
Right.
Or productivity.
Right.
And that means the tax code that makes it so you and your business are incentivized to buy that new piece of equipment that makes you more productive. Therefore, you can pay yourself and your families and your workers more.
Right.
Then there's other things you do to knock down inflation. And you and I have talked about this a dozen times. I've done a series of floor speeches on it. But it's got to be this sort of all-in approach where growth is moral. And then the incentives in society to actually have society, like, normalize.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to deal with things like the border, because look what's happening in our neighborhoods.
Right.
The fentanyl, the homelessness.
The crime,
Distortion.
Yeah.
So the answer is it's not one thing. It's the willingness to do everything and do it all at once.
You have been a hawk on the border, and before we do the Social Security thing, I'll have you say a word about it, too. You've on Twitter, you've been, just angry as anyone about what's going on at the border. But that, too, is an unsustainable problem, too, David. I mean, I people say to me, I mean, how can this go on? I don't know. I don't know how this can go on. It's going on.
Remember, on occasion, I try to demonstrate the economics of an open border.
Yeah.
If you care and love low-skill, low-income, the working poor in your society, there's good economic data. And the funny thing, these were all articles by liberal professors promoted by the left just a decade ago. It said if you open up your border and you bring in lots and lots and lots of additional low-skilled, unskilled labor, you make the working poor in your society poorer.
This is Cesar Chavez's point years ago. This was Cesar Chavez's point years ago with the migrant workers. Yeah.
But this is even fancy professors from a decade ago.
Okay. All right.
That if you flood the market with people with similar skill sets, you lower the value of that skill set. If the skill set is low skill, you lower the value of. And the cruelty of it. Does anyone care about that family where, okay, mom and dad didn't graduate high school, but they're out there hanging drywall and working as hard as they can, And now they're living in a society, a community, where they're having to compete against how many other people?
Right, right.
So just the cruelty of what we've done making the working poor poorer in our country.
Now David, I have to take a commercial break. Do you need to go, or do you want to stay?
No, I'm good.
All right, so sure Len understands that you'd rather talk to me than to him. It's important that I win. It's important. Okay. We love him. All right, I'll be back with you in a few moments, David, and our obviously our best to Len Munsell. I am Seth Leibson. He's David Schweikert. We'll both be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. Delighted to have Congressman David Schweikert with us, representing the 1st Congressional District here in Arizona, which is where we broadcast from and where he and I are. Actually, he's in Washington, D.C. right now. David, you were just making a point before we went to the break, and I didn't want to cut you off if you had more to say on it. But one of the problems that of the many with our ongoing illegal immigration problem is, of course, equally the suppression of wages here.
Well, one of the reasons I go there is so often we see the obvious. We see the, as an economist, the first degree, second degree, there's a homeless, there's fentanyl.
Right.
There's just this sort of misery. There's communities that are overwhelmed. But you don't sort of think about the cascade effect. And one of these studies, I've presented this on the floor multiple times, says there'll be a suppression of wages for a decade.
Yeah.
Because of the population. So it's just, it's a more, if you ever have that liberal family member or friend who thinks they're freaky smart, discuss that with them. Discuss the cruelty to the working poor, because it's often an argument that's avoided by the left, because they claim they care and then they punish these poor people.
Is there a resistance level that is unseen in this, David, I wonder? I remember there was last time we were looking at this 15, 20 years ago, from people who want to pay lower wages. You know, they want to circumvent the law and pay lower wages. There is that part of it, too, right?
Well, no. I need you to take a step backwards.
Okay.
Think back a decade and a half ago.
Right.
This is what the left accused Republican
businesses. That's correct. Right.
Oh, your Republican businesses want to exploit the working man.
Right.
But remember, parties now have identified the populations. Republicans are much more the hardworking, sort of middle class party.
Yep.
And the left, the crazy thing is the left now has become the sort of arrogant, well-educated
corporatist
exploiters of these populations.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. And so when you take a step back, when you take that step and another giant step back and looking at what's going on at the border, not only the increase of deaths of people who are trying to cross and the danger of that, not only the sex trafficking, the child trafficking, not only the drug, not even all of that exploitation, which is really, let's call it what it is, modern day slavery, and often, a lifetime, if nothing can be done about it, if nothing is done about it, the huge drug problem. I was talking with someone on drug policy the other day saying Arizona is basically the drug dealer to the nation right now, at least at the most lethal.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need you to be much more cynical but funny.
Okay.
You remember that supply chain problem that we had at the beginning of the Biden administration?
Yeah.
Well, at least on narcotics, we solved it.
Yeah.
Arizona is, by them opening up the border, we're now the distribution center of fentanyl. What is the new drug, nazepine?
Yeah, right.
Which is animal tranquil.
Right, trank they call it. Yeah, trank, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
which is even more lethal. Right, and
so
that's
now we're killing
up.
People, right. Not just in Arizona, but across the country.
Yeah.
It is. So, all right.
That's like the old Newt Gingrich line. If FedEx can track every package to within an inch of its life, wherever it is at any point in time, why can't? Yeah, I remember that argument.
It is what it is.
It is what
it is. And there are solutions, but it would require the left to step up and admit that their version of compassion, having open borders, turned out to create misery for so many young people, so many families, so much heartbreak.
Is it because they see an ultimate voting base? Is it right to be that cynical? Or I mean, it's hard to explain that kind of blithe attitude to this inhumanity.
I actually have a slightly different theory.
Yeah.
Collectivists are often terrified to have anyone speak differently than the collective.
Okay.
So it became collective orthodoxy that open border was good and compassionate.
Right.
Now, until they get someone in their leadership to say, oh, this was bad, none of them are going to ever step up and speak against it because they're a monolith.
Yeah.
You know, Republicans, we beat the crap out of each other all the time, and that's good. We fight over policy to see which policy, which idea is more robust, which holds up. Democrats are terrified ever to say something that doesn't fit their narrative, even when that narrative is killing people in their own neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and forgive me, I've had a lot of caffeine today.
It's okay.
But it is a level of cruelty. And oddly enough, it's almost the same thing the left is doing right now with Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah, let's go there.
They're running around and saying, oh, Republicans want to cut it. Up until a couple days ago, I was the senior Republican over Social Security. I'm now the chairman of oversight, so I have all, you know, for Ways and Means, for all of Medicare, Social Security, you know, trade, the IRS. I mean, you know, this is huge. I talk to people every single day for the last year on how to save Social Security, Republicans and Democrats. I've never had a single person ever talk about cutting it.
Yeah.
And yet, right now, down in the lobby are the Democrat trolls from the DCCC holding cameras, running up to Republicans saying, why do you want to cut Medicare? Why do you want to cut Social Security? And then they're shoving a camera in your face, trying to get someone to say something outrageous, and that becomes their television ad.
Yeah.
But here's the cruelty. We got a problem. We got a mass problem. In the CBO just a couple days ago, Congressional Budget Office a couple days ago, said 10 years, the trust fund is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, 23% cut in your paycheck, or excuse me, in your Social Security check.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, we double senior poverty.
Mm-hmm.
We need a solution, but it's going to have to be a bipartisan solution. We've got to come together and actually deal with stunningly complex math. And it is much more complex than just saying, well, raise the age a bit or raise the tax a bit. Believe it or not, because we've waited so long, none of those things actually produce enough resources.
Yeah, we can't do that anymore.
You can do it, but it doesn't cover the shortfall. The shortfall is so big.
Yeah.
It would have worked if we did it 15 years ago. And by the Democrats caring so much more about winning the politics and the television battle of today, they are basically willing to destroy retirement security for Americans. And it shows you how sick the politics have become here in the United States. Where instead of saying, hey, this is a real problem, we got to work together, they're running up and down the hallway saying, Republicans want to cut it, and then throwing cameras in people's faces, tell me why I'm wrong. And we're looking and going, huh?
You know what would be good? Let's do this next week if we can when we visit next week. Let's run through some of that math and some of the options we can do to save Social Security.
Or if someone gets a chance, watch one of my floor speeches.
Yeah.
I've been walking through just how difficult the demographics are.
All right. For those that can't wait a week, they get uglier over time. People do that in the interim, but let's next week summarize some of it. I think that would be really valuable. I think people would love it. That'd be great. David, thank you, sir. As always, really appreciate you standing there.
You're very kind, Seth.
You betcha. You are too. I am Seth Leibson, and we'll be right back. 602-508-0960.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.